Good morning and welcome to this online celebration of Holy Communion on the second Sunday of Epiphany. Whoever you are and wherever you come from, we welcome you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name is great among the nations, says the Lord. Hymn 189. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold.
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God, be merciful to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Make your ways be known on earth, your saving power to all nations. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You, Lord, have made known your salvation and reveal your justice in the light of the nations. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your heavenly glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. He got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli persevered that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you again, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went, lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me out and known me.
You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You mark out my journeys and my resting place,
and are acquainted with all my ways.
For there is not a word on my tongue,
but you, O Lord, know it altogether.
You encompass me behind and before,
and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me,
so high that I cannot attain it.
For you yourself created my inmost parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I thank you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Marvelous are your works, my soul knows well.
My frame was not hidden from you
when I was made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my form as yet unfinished.
Already in your book were all my members written,
as day by day they were fashioned,
when as yet there was none of them.
How deep are your counsels to me, O God!
How great is the sum of them!
If I count them, they are more in number than the sand.
And at the end, I am still in your presence.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from the Revelation of St. John the Divine, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn from Thanks and Praise, number 23. Christ is surely coming.
Thank you.
the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "He is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word we may behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's classic work, The Little Prince, the narrator is a pilot who crash lands his plane in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Miles from civilization, the pilot assumes he will only last as long as his water supply. But one morning he is awakened by a funny little voice that says, "Draw me a sheep." When he turns and sees an extraordinary little prince, he stares at him in disbelief. The pilot asks the boy where he came from, but the prince just says, "Please, draw me a sheep." The pilot complies, or at least he tries to, but the first sheep he draws looks too sickly. The prince asks for another. The second sheep has horns, so the prince specifies that he wants a sheep, not a ram. The pilot draws a third sheep, but that one looks too old. Finally, perhaps in some frustration, the pilot draws a box with three holes in the side and says, "The sheep you want is inside." To his surprise, the prince says, "That's just the type I wanted." And this first whimsical encounter with the little prince is one of many in a journey that takes the pilot and the reader from contentment in the familiar to joy in the adventure. Many of the disciples have notable and even whimsical first encounters with Jesus, but none more than Nathanael. Nathanael is minding his own business when Philip runs up screaming that he has found the one whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. And he's from Nazareth, of all places. "Nazareth," Nathanael says, "can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip simply invites him, "Come and see for yourself." So Nathanael follows, and before he can shake hands with this stranger from the backwaters of first century Palestine, Jesus raises his arms and exclaims, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. While some people are masters of flattery, Jesus offers no shallow compliments here. He sees Nathanael, and Nathanael knows it. "How do you know me?" Nathanael asks. Jesus responds, "I saw you under the fig tree, even before Philip told you about me." To our surprise, Nathanael proclaims, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In one moment, Nathanael moves from his narrow ideas and contentment in the familiar to embracing the joy that is possible in an adventure following Jesus. But what is it about this whimsical encounter that makes Nathanael change his tune so dramatically? There was a common metaphor used for the religious institution of Jesus' time, that of the fig tree. Fig trees produce fruit right along with leaves, and in an occurrence found in the gospel accounts of Mark and Matthew, Jesus comes upon a fig tree chock-a-block full of leaves. He goes to pick some fruit and finds that there is none to be picked. Whatever pollination is necessary for fruit to be produced did not happen. The same thing seemed to be true of the religious institution Jesus critiqued. All of the bells and whistles were there, but the fruits were not. Jesus knew that Nathanael shared this perception of those religious institutions, and Jesus knew that Nathanael was familiar with the fig tree metaphor. Nathanael knew that the fig tree he was under needed some pruning, and in a few words, Jesus seemed to promise help with such an endeavor. Nathanael is, one might say, blown away. But the excitement does not stop. Jesus asks Nathanael, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What do you suppose that might look like? If you had to draw the scene of the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, what might that look like? More than a fantastic image, Jesus' image alludes to Jacob, who was called Israel after his wrestling match with God. Like the metaphor of the fig tree, Nathanael would have immediately understood the connection to Jacob, who is said to have dreamt of a ladder reaching to heaven with God at the top. On the ladder, there were angels ascending and descending between earth and heaven. Knowing this story of Jacob, Nathanael would have understood Jesus to be saying that he would be the one to reestablish the joyful relationship between the people on earth and God in heaven. Jesus would not do away with anything, but would fulfill everything. Jesus would make it so that no person or institution could ever get in the way of God doing what God is going to do to bring about total reconciliation throughout the world and all of the created universe. The church, the body of Christ, is said to have been born at Pentecost. Some people claim that Easter is the birth of the church, and many speak of Christmas as the beginning. We may also consider that the birth of the church happens whenever someone accepts that curious invitation to come and see what God is up to in the world today. As participants in a faith community, we too have opportunities to join God in what God is doing. Often those opportunities lead us down unfamiliar paths, Sometimes those opportunities require that we take a good, hard look at ourselves and correct our path. Sometimes we simply need to find our spirits nourished and our energies renewed. More often than not, we can find ourselves somewhere in the cycle that moves us from contentment in the familiar ways of our world into a whimsical curiosity in an adventure that promises us joyful results. Jesus invited Nathanael on a journey that would take him all around the region and eventually right up to Jerusalem to encounter the powers of the day. There was no hour-by-hour itinerary, but there was a promise of joy and hope in helping to usher in a world that could be God's kingdom come. Jesus does not offer us as much information about what following him will look like. Not unlike Saint-Exupéry's Pilate depicting a sheep by drawing a box with holes in the side, Jesus promises us an adventure and a chance to imagine together what following Jesus might look like. We will define what turns our journeys take, but we can only do that once we accept that curious, whimsical invitation, the invitation to come and see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, may your church be always alert in your service, ready to hear new calls for the coming of the kingdom. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We pray for this group of parishes. We pray for Braniel Community Church and its leader, James Crockett. We pray for John, our Archbishop and Metropolitan, and the other church leaders. Bless them in coordinating a multi-denominational response to the present situation arising from the coronavirus pandemic. Grant them your daily help and build us up in faith and love. Grant to all Christian people the mutual love, which is the duty of those called to be your own. And on this eve of the week of prayer for Christian unity, strengthen our respect for those who acknowledge Christ in ways different from ours, and draw us towards the unity that is your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, cast out the distrust that separates people of different cultures and backgrounds. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Brandon Lewis, and the government. The First Minister, Arlene Foster, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. Also, President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. And we pray for President-elect Joe Biden, who will be inaugurated as President of the United States later this week. Give all in positions of responsibility your wisdom in making decisions that affect the lives and futures of others. Draw all to be of one mind, open to the heavenly message that Christ has brought into the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, be present among our families, our friends, and our colleagues. If any are called to particular service in your purpose, especially during the present health emergency, give them ears to hear and wills to follow you. As people feel financial strain during this ongoing period of uncertainty, bring them comfort and peace, reminding them that you are there with them and for them. Provide for them in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, may the compassion of Christ still prevail to heal the sick and feed the hungry through the divine love that never fails. As more people become sick, healthcare workers are working longer hours with fewer supplies and with more risk of contracting coronavirus themselves. Renew their energy and sustain them on long shifts. Bring your protection upon them as they work with patients. Multiply their supplies so that they have the protective items needed to stay safe on the job. Inspire and invigorate the distribution of preventative vaccines to eliminate the disease's spread. We pray for all who are bereaved and grant them the assurance of your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember and give thanks for those who have fulfilled their work on earth and entered into rest. Give us grace to follow their example and to be vigilant to the end. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume
to come
to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Our Saviour Christ is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Hymn 429. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life. that we might live in him and he in us.
He opened wide his arms upon the cross,
and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you.
You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord
Jesus, we bless you.
You are the true vine.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying,
you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen.
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 Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. God of glory, You nourish us with bread from heaven. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us
with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ the Son, be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. From Thanks and Praise, number 42, Go at the Call of God. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, Amen.
We thank you for being with us and sharing in this service. Our next online service will be on Sunday coming, the third Sunday after the Epiphany. It will also be observed as World Leprosy Day, and we will focus our thoughts and prayers on the work of the leprosy mission throughout the world. Items for the February edition of the Parish Magazine are now due. It would be of great assistance if these could be left with me or with Roger Maxwell. during the coming week. Thank you.